Now let's continue on with the overview of the grace of God. The word favor today in English does not carry the substance and meaning of the word grace. Now, William Tyndale was the first one to translate directly from the Greek into English. And the word grace is the word that he used, and he is called the father of the English language. So it is more likely that grace is a transliteration of the word charis. So let's come here to chapter 6. We won't go through the whole chapter, but let's just review this. When we are baptized, we are what? Conjoined to the death of Christ. Okay? Now then, is that not an act of grace, profound grace, to be joined to the death of Christ for the forgiveness of your sins? That is something. That's why receiving the Holy Spirit coming up out of the watery grave and so forth is so important. Now then, we are told, let's come over here to verse 12, chapter 6. Okay? No, verse 11. Romans 6, verse 11. In the same way also, you should indeed reckon yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God through Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin rule in your mortal body by obeying it in the lust thereof. Okay, now that tells us a lot. You think about that verse. What ruled our lives before repentance and forgiveness? Sin. Deceit. Okay. That's why we have to have our minds cleaned up, and that's a process, see. Likewise, do not yield yourselves as instruments of unrighteousness to sin. Rather, yield yourselves to God as those who are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Now, that's quite a transformation, isn't it? That's why it takes the Spirit of God. And that is because of God's grace, God's mercy, God's love, and all of this combined together under the grace of God. For sin shall not rule over you because of the Spirit of God, because of being able to bring every thought into captivity. You put down the temptations as they come rather than going through and sinning. Now, we do sin because of the weakness of the flesh. That is true. But we need to exercise the Spirit of God to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And Christ's obedience produced what? True righteousness without sin, correct? Yes. All right, so in order to do this, this is part of the grace of God. See? For sin shall not rule over you because you are not under law but under grace, and you can't receive the Spirit of God unless you're under grace. Okay? What then? Shall we sin because we're not under law, but under grace? May it never be. See? Now then, the whole thing of growing and changing and overcoming becomes really, really important. And yielding to God becomes all that much more profound. See? That's why you look out at this world, you know, and I look at all of these candidates, and politically you can say, yeah, that's right, yeah, that's right, yeah, that's right, yeah, that's right, yeah, that's right. However, unless there is a change in people to quit breaking the laws of God, see? Now, how do you think it would go over if you had one of these important people ask you, could ask anyone who knows the truth, how would you solve the problems of America? Well, I begin with the Ten Commandments. And since the first four are pretty hard to take, we'll come back to those later. But let's start with the last five. Okay? Should not murder. If Black Lives Matter, why not enforce that? If white lives matter, why not enforce that? By choice. Don't kill. Don't murder. How about getting rid of abortion? Okay? Well, you can solve that by the next commandment. You shall not commit adultery. Because all abortions are the result of adultery. Okay? All right? Then what's the next one? You shall not steal. Boy, let's start this enforced in right on Wall Street. See? No stealing. Coupled with the next one, don't lie. No false advertising. No hidden clauses. You see, God says just weights and just balance. Okay? Which ties into the next one, you shall not covet. Okay? First operation would be everybody get lined up with these in the letter of the law. That put a lot of police out of business, wouldn't it? Yes, put a lot of locksmiths out of business, wouldn't it? Then you can say, all right, after everyone has learned this and a majority of people are keeping it now, we'll go back to commandment number one, the true God. Commandment number two requires action. Destroy every idol in every church and every meeting place and every religion. There will be no other religions but the true worship of God, period. Okay? No more false teachings in the name of God, because that's taking God's name in vain. And everybody's going to keep the Sabbath. No more Friday night games, no more Saturday games. Everything is going to be on a different day. And everybody will go to church, and everybody will study the Word of God, and everybody will have a Bible, and everybody will read it so that they can keep their practice of doing God's way. Now, how do you think that would go? Okay? And then all the teenagers, you're going to honor your father and mother. That's why political solutions can never solve spiritual problems. And that's why Christ must return and destroy it. Now, that's why we're under grace. God has called us to be trained to put an end to it. Under Christ. That's something to always keep in mind. Think you can vote for this guy, this woman, whatever it is? No, the whole system is completely out of whack. Okay? Now, let's see some more about the grace of God. So being under grace means your whole relationship with God. And every benefit that you get from God is grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. Just like understanding the Bible. How do you understand the Bible? Line upon line. Line upon line, etc. How do you grow in grace and knowledge, as Peter said? With grace upon grace and knowledge upon knowledge, growing in it. See, we're preparing for eternal life because it's only going to take eternal beings to solve the problems of the world. They're going to be solved by just everybody. It would help a great deal just to have a decent society if everyone would live in the letter of the law, but how long do you think that would work? I mean, you couldn't even get them to start it. I mean, it's hard enough to get a whole family keeping the laws of God, okay, let alone a whole, say, block in a city and a community within a city, then the whole city. Think of what that would be. Whole thing would be they'd have to go back and repent first, right, wouldn't they? Okay? So that's why we've been called. All right. Let's come to 1 Peter. 1 Peter. Let's see how Peter talks about this. He talks about the grace of God. Okay? Now, this is why we have the introductions here. Okay? The way that they are. And I think if you read all the way through 1 and 2 Peter, you're going to find it agrees 100% with what Paul wrote. Okay? Verse 1, chapter 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the elect strangers. Now, that means selected, see? Now, it talks about those who return with Christ as called, chosen, and faithful, okay? So being chosen is selected, and the word elect means selected. Now, this had to be written after the apostle Paul was out of the scene, because this is in Asia Minor, scattered in Pontus, Galatia. Who wrote the book to Galatia? Paul did. See? Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. That's all of what is modern-day Turkey today. Okay? Who have been chosen according to the predetermined knowledge of God the Father by sanctification, which is part of grace, through the Spirit, you're made holy with the Holy Spirit of God within you, unto doing away with the law. No, unto obedience in the Spirit and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you. Favor, in my opinion, would fall totally flat. Grace and peace be multiplied to you. Grace upon grace, that's what John wrote of, didn't he? Yes. And that's a continuous operation, grace upon grace. Multiplied to you. This is explaining it in just a little different way. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, according to his abundant mercy, has begotten us again. And the Greek there is anugune, which means begotten again. See, you were born in the flesh because you were begotten in the flesh, right? That's your first begettal. When you receive the Holy Spirit, you're begotten again by the Spirit from the Father. See, so begotten again. Just like you were born in the flesh, you will be born again at the resurrection. Parallel is exactly perfect. Flesh, spirit. See, God made us to need him. God made us to need his laws. God made us to need his spirit. Since the world doesn't want it, God reaches down and chooses us, the weak of the world. We answer the call. We receive the Spirit of God. We're begotten again unto a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. See? That's something. Only one to live from the dead. That's why in Revelation, the first chapter, he says, I was dead, yet I'm alive evermore. And I, Christ, says, I have the keys of the grave and of death. Only he can undo it. Where are all the spirits of men kept? Somewhere close to the altar of God. And I'm sure there are three sections to it. One for the first resurrection. Another one for the second resurrection. And another one for the third resurrection. Because it says all will be made alive. Not just some, but all. See? Each one in his own order. If you belong to Christ, you're of the order of the first resurrection. If you've lived a life and haven't committed sin, but you were never converted, haven't committed the unpardonable sin, beg your pardon, never were converted, never heard about the Word of God, what if you were some native 1,000 years ago living in the jungles of the Amazon basin? Knowing nothing about God. God cut you off. God let you go. You haven't committed the unpardonable sin. All right. That spirit, along with the spirits of all other in that category, and I fully believe those of who've been aborted, because all you need is the genes, and once they're brought together, bang, God can create from that. Now, let's go forward here. Verse 4, unto an inheritance incorruptible. Well, that's something. Won't rot, won't get old. Undefiled and unfaded, reserved for in heaven for us. So, when we're resurrected, we'll receive it. Now notice, who are being safeguarded by the power of God. We have to have our choices. Yes, there are choices we have to make. Now, isn't that something, safeguarded by the power of God? Is that not part of the grace of God? Yes, indeed. Through faith, we have to believe. For salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. See? Now, unless you know the things in the book of Revelation, especially chapter 20, about the resurrection and then the rest of the dead living again after the 1,000 years are over, see, you wouldn't have this, you wouldn't know what the timetable would be here, see, because that wasn't revealed until it was given to John, and that was just before he died. But what I want you to understand here is how he is teaching, what he is saying has to do with the overall standing in the grace of God. All of these blessings come from the grace of God. Verse 6, in this you yourselves greatly rejoice, though for the present, if it is necessary, you are in distress for a little while by various trials, some longer, some shorter, some more severe, some not so severe, in order that the proving of your faith. God wants to know, by our own free choice, do we really believe in him? Do we really trust him? Are we going to rely upon him? Proving of your faith, which is much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is being tested by fire. Sometimes you have really difficult trials, don't you? May be found unto praise and honor and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You know, it's going to be like you wake up from a sound sleep. Bang, all of a sudden you're conscious again. You know, and here you are, angel carrying you up to the sea of glass. And you have a little conversation going up. How long have I been in the ground? Well, let's see, now about 500 years. Really? Has it been that long? Yes. And I was your guardian angel. And I protected you. Remember when this happened? Yeah. Well, I kept you from being smashed. Okay. Whatever. And we get up on the sea of glass, and there are all of them. From Abel all the way down to the last two witnesses. All of us there, that's going to be something, see. But we have to have our faith proved. Why? Because God is not going to have any more rebellion. He is not going to have any more Satan, the devils. Okay? Now notice the faith we need to have. See? Whom, that's referring to Christ, not having seen. Peter saw Christ, but the rest of them didn't. See, well, all the apostles and 500 brethren after he was resurrected, etc. But I mean from the time of the destruction of the temple, and especially after the death of John, they didn't see. You love because you know what he's done for you. And he's your high priest. He's your intercessor. He's your mediator right now. In whom, though at the present time you do not see, you believe and rejoice with unspeakable joy. And joy is another word very akin to charis. It is chara. Okay? Chara. Is it chara or para? I forget. Either one. Okay. And having received the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, concerning which salvation the prophets who prophesied of the grace that would come to you have diligently searched out and intently inquired. They weren't told what it's going to be. Always remember Daniel. He was given all these tremendous prophecies about everything leading to the end of the world. And then he said, when's it going to be? And he was told, go your way, Daniel, for it's sealed till the time of the end. You're not going to know. Lord, I gave all of them. How about a clue? No. Just a little hint? No. I'll give you one. The wise shall understand, but none of the wicked will. How's that? Okay. See? Searching into what way and what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, was indicating, testifying beforehand of the sufferings of Christ and these glories that would follow. You know, I imagine that David many times would think about that Psalm 22, you know, pierce my hands, pierce my feet, you know, look down, count all my bones. I guess he wondered what that is going to be. Maybe God did tell him it would have to do with the coming of the Messiah. But for him to go through and give all those painful words, that must have been something. All right. Verse 12, to whom it was revealed that not for themselves but for us they were ministering these things, which now have been announced to you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, in which things angels desire to look. How much more so for us? See? We understand things that they didn't understand even 100 years ago. See? Well, what, 150 years ago, it was still horse and buggy, wasn't it? Well, we had to train, and going at 35 miles an hour, they thought you would die, you know, until they found out you wouldn't. And now we send people up in space, okay? And we're still looking at it, aren't we? We can see more things, but we still don't understand everything, do we? No. Okay? So, notice what he says, see? It was the Spirit of God which gave it to them, okay? Verse 13. For this reason, be prepared in your minds, always, all the time. Be self-controlled, that is, with the Holy Spirit of God. Be fully hoping in the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So the resurrection is grace. Look at how much grace covers. Can you say the resurrection is a favor? See, that's really weak. Hoping in the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not conform yourselves to the former lust as you did in your ignorance. Notice this is the same teaching, identical. Different words, maybe not as much detail, but it is identical to what Paul preached, John preached, Peter preached, which we're reading here. James preached. Jude preached. Yes, indeed, all one integrated whole. But according as he who has called you is holy, you yourselves also be holy in all your conduct. Now, are the commandments holy? Yes. All right. Was Jesus holy? Yes. Did he keep the holy commandments? Yes. Now, if we're going to be holy in all of our conduct, that means all the instructions of Christ, doesn't it? Yes, indeed. All the commandments of God. How are you going to be holy apart from God and His Spirit? And God's Spirit is the Spirit of truth. And that's how you get rid of all the error in your mind. Okay. Verse 16, for it is written, you be holy because I am holy. Because God wants us to be like Him. So this is quite a thing. I mean, this whole chapter is something. We won't go through any more of it here. Come over here to chapter 3. Chapter 3. And let's pick it up here beginning Okay, verse 4. No, verse 3. Sometimes you have to go back. In Greek, you have these sentences that are long. I mean, if you wrote like this in English, you'd flunk English. If you yourselves have indeed tasted that the Lord is gracious, and that's tasting the graciousness of God, 1 Peter 2 and verse 3, in whom, to whom coming as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious, you also as living stones are being built up as a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. Think of what we're going to be doing, brethren. Yes, some of us will be priests, some of us will be governors, some of us will be rulers, some of us will be mayors of cities. Remember the parable about over the cities, 5 cities, 10 cities, etc.? Yes. To offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. That's our prayer, that's our study, that's our service, that's our giving, that's everything that we do. For this reason, it says in the scripture, behold, I place in Zion a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and the one who believes in him shall never be put to shame. The preciousness is to you. That precious sacrifice of Christ, the precious blood of Christ, the precious Holy Spirit of God. He doesn't give it to just anybody. Okay? The preciousness is to you, therefore, who believe, but to those who disobey, the stone that the builders rejected has become the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense. It is even to the Protestants. You tell them anything about the Old Testament, they get offended. You tell them anything about the holidays they keep, they get offended. You know, I think of Bill O'Reilly on that all the time. I'm a Christian Catholic. Boy, I'm an advocate for Christmas, boy. We're going to make sure that no Christmas tree is taken down any place. How would he react if you went up and said, dear Bill, I know you're zealous for the truth. Are you? Yes, I want the truth. Well, I have something to say to you which is true, but I do believe you're going to get mad. Did you know that Christmas is pagan and you shouldn't keep it? If I were that person, I'd make sure I was about 10 feet away and nothing handy he could throw. And you could do the same thing with everything else. You know, what's the first thing we're going to be confronted with after the Feast of Tabernacles? Halloween. Okay? So Christ would be a stone of stumbling. Okay? Being disobedient, and which unbelief they also were appointed. But you are a chosen stock, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, not yet formed and organized. That doesn't take place till the resurrection. A people for a possession of God, that you might proclaim his excellent virtues, who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Boy, that's a thing. Just think of that, living in this dark, dark world. Man, and it's going to get a whole lot more dark. All right, come over here. Come over here to, come over here to chapter 5. Chapter 5. Let's pick it up here. Let's pick it up here in verse 5. 5:5. In the same manner, you younger men, be subject to the older men, and all of you be subject to one another. That is, to cooperate and get along and so forth. Being clothed with humility, because God sets himself against the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Be humbled, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, which then is an operation of grace. Casting all your cares upon him, because he cares for you. Be sober. Be vigilant. For your adversary, the devil, is prowling about as a roaring lion, seeking anyone he may devour. Whom resist? Steadfast in the faith. You can't fight against sin unless you are steadfast against faith. Let's put it this way. You can't be victorious over sin unless you are steadfast in the faith. Okay? Knowing that the same afflictions are being fulfilled among your brethren who are in the world. Now notice what he says here in verse 10. Now may the God of all grace, now all means each and every one, which then is, includes grace upon grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory in Christ Jesus. Now we don't have a clue what that is going to be like. Eternal glory. After you have suffered a little while, himself perfect you. That's what it's doing. It's perfecting us. Establish, strengthen, and settle you. That's what God will do. And this is why we need to keep this in mind as we're heading into more darker days ahead. There are going to be some that are going to be incredible. All right? Now let's come to Ephesians. The first chapter. Ephesians, the first chapter. This is one of the greatest chapters in the Bible, and Ephesians 3. Both those chapters are absolutely astounding. And this brings everything of what God is doing with his grace to a very high level and shows us what God is doing with us and to us and through us, see, so that we can have strength in the times that we really need it. All right? Verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints that are in Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Now that is a prophecy reaching out to all faithful at all times down through history. Grace and peace be to you from God our Father, directly from God the Father. See, because our relationship is with the Father. Jesus said you pray to the Father because the Father himself loves you. And the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly things with Christ. We haven't received all of them yet. We have a down payment of it. But all of those things are there, as Peter says, reserved in heaven for us, so that when we're resurrected and heaven comes down just above the earth and we're resurrected to the sea of glass, we will receive it. See? All spiritual blessings in the heavenly things with Christ. Now, notice this, you can't say that this is favor. This is far greater than favor, verse 4, according as he has personally chosen us for himself before the foundation of the world. In other words, God had this plan before the foundation of the world to call, and those who respond and answer the call would be chosen, see. God hasn't chosen anyone before the foundation of the earth. Okay? Now, hold your place here. I'll prove it to you. Come to Jeremiah, the first chapter. All right? Jeremiah, the first chapter. Now, you will get this in the coming letter. Okay? But let's read it here. Verse 4. Jeremiah 1. And it came to pass, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. At what point was that? He didn't say before the foundation of the world. The plan was before the foundation of the world. At what point in the existence of Jeremiah did this take place? The instant of conception. Then he was formed after he was conceived, right? That's the operation. Okay? Before I formed you in the belly. So, he said, I knew you at the instant of conception, we could say today. And before you came forth out of the womb, I consecrated you and ordained you a prophet to the nations. Now, if anybody should have been chosen from before the foundation of the world, it should have been Jeremiah. See, but that's the plan of God. All right, back to Ephesians 1. In order that we might be holy and blameless before him in love. That's why the love of God is so important and is perhaps the first expression of God's love is his grace. See? Having predestinated us for sonship. And that sonship means the very children of God. All of those in the first resurrection will be the children of the Father. All of those through the millennium will be the children of Christ. Because it says of Christ in Isaiah 9 that he is the everlasting Father. Question is, when does he become a father? When he returns to the earth and all the saints who are the sons of God the Father will rule with him. See? Sonship, not adoption. Why is it sonship and not adoption? Because we receive the Holy Spirit of God for eternal life from the Father, and when we receive it, we are what? Begotten again, so we are his very own children. Sonship to himself through Jesus Christ according to the good pleasure of his own will. Now, that is something. To the praise of the glory of his grace. Because all of this is accomplished by his grace. In whom he has made us object of his grace in the beloved Son. Now then, that shows that grace is like that umbrella that we talked about. Okay, we stand under, we stand in, and we receive, and we have grace upon grace given to us. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even a remission of sins according to the riches of his grace. See, so his grace accomplishes many, many things. Which he has made to abound toward us in all wisdom and intelligence, having made known to us the mystery of his own will. Now think about it, especially in this age. We have more knowledge about the will and plan of God for mankind than any other generation in the history of the Church of God. Having the Word of God, the Spirit of God, all the things we need to know. Isn't that something? And he has made us know his secret. You don't share your secrets with strangers. Mystery of his own will according to his good pleasure which he proposed in himself. I mean, this is mind-blowing when you really think about it. What God has called us to, this is absolutely fantastic. Okay? That in a divine plan for the fulfilling of the times, he might bring all things together in Christ, both the things in the heavens and the things upon the earth. Yes, in him, whom we also have obtained an inheritance, already there, having been predestinated according to his purpose, because his purpose was laid out first, who is working out all things according to the counsel of his own will. That's quite a thing that God is working at, isn't it? That we might be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in the Christ, in whom you also trusted after hearing the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and whom also after believing you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now, that's something. Having the Holy Spirit of God, which is in two parts, the begettal from the Father and the mind of Christ, called the Spirit of Christ and the Spirit of the Father together. And Jesus said that the Father and we will make our abode with you. That is the most fantastic thing that there is. Think of that. There are only two who are God, the Father and Christ. And the Father has dealt with us, called us, Christ has dealt with us, worked with us, and we receive the Spirit directly from them. See? That's why God hates the works of the Nicolaitans with the hierarchy. See? And the epitome of it is the Roman Catholic Church. All right, we'll finish this. We'll go a little over time, but a few minutes won't hurt us. Okay? Sun doesn't go down for right about 4.5 hours. I could go on a little longer. Okay. Okay. Sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance. In other words, that's the down payment. That is the guarantee that God has given. See? Until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. For this cause, I also, after hearing of the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ that is among you, and the love toward all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. And that's why every day we pray for the brethren. We pray for all the churches of God, because we hope and pray that they will all come into the unity of the faith. And the unity of the faith does not mean one organization. God has caused many, many different churches of God to be there because you can't stamp it out in one fell swoop. Okay? I think there are now, what, 1,500 churches of God? Different organizations? Preaching the truth in varying degrees as they know it? Now notice what this prayer is, and this prayer, remember, is to who? Verse 1. And to the faithful in Christ Jesus. This prayer goes down through all time, just like the prayer of Jesus. John 17. I pray for those that will believe on their word. That prayer goes down in all time for all of us. See? Likewise with this one. Verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, to learn more and more about Christ, the mind of Christ, the Word of God, and all of those things combined, over and over and over and over again. And this is why, even though we have a lot of material, there could be a whole lot more. Even John wrote that if everything that Christ did would be written in books, he said there wouldn't be room in the world to hold those books. Okay? And may the eyes of your mind be enlightened with the Spirit of God, with the Word of God. That as you study the Word of God, boom, you understand more. See? In order that you may comprehend what is the hope of his calling. See, this gives you strength against every trial, every trouble, every difficulty, and strength against the time when there's going to be persecution, and strength against the time when there will be martyrdom. There are plenty of martyrs for Jesus today in the Middle East and Africa. God won't forget them. But the martyrdom of the saints, that's coming right soon. And if we have this in mind, there is nothing, nothing that can keep us from loving and serving God. Okay? And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us, verse 19, who believe according to the inner workings of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Now notice where we will be. Verse 21, far above every principality and authority. They will all be extinguished. Power and lordship in every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. For he has subordinated all things under his feet and has given him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all things in all. Now this is why the word should be grace, and not favor.
For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.